Hello, everybody, and welcome to Wonder. We are back and more excited than ever. We're back from our summer break, which admittedly lasted a little bit longer than I had anticipated. I think that we were initially intending to come back end of January, but I had no idea how busy the summer was going to get, and it completely got away from me. So I've learned very important to be realistic with yourself. And I've also been exploring some avenues of ways that I can get some of the podcast work done with some help that will help me move things forward a bit quicker. We ended up having a really wonderful summer, and it was busy but fun. Saw a lot of different places. We can't wait to chat about the New York and US trip in general. We had a phenomenal trip where we flew to New York via Hawaii. So we did 10 hours to Hawaii, 10 hours to New York. That was amazing. We had a 36-hour layover in Hawaii, and it was phenomenal. Hawaii is stunning. It's beautiful. It's admittedly incredibly expensive, but it is really, really wonderful, and we didn't have enough time there. But we will do a bit of a podcast on how we spent our 36 hours there. And then we headed to New York. We were there for about a week. Then we went to Montana, spent some time with my family there, and spent a winter in Montana where there was no skiing, which was interesting and does happen. It doesn't typically ski or it doesn't typically snow that much in December, but if you're really lucky, you can get a really good couple of days skiing right after Christmas. More and more as things change in terms of the environment, it's getting more and more rare that you'll have powder days in December. And unfortunately, that was our reality. It was not warm, but it was lacking precipitation. So there wasn't any snow, but we did have an incredible time. So much time with the fam. We did some things that we might not have done traditionally, which was great. So we saw some things outside of the general ski experience that usually you'll get when you go to Montana in the winter. And then we came back to Sydney. Sydney was in the full swing of summer, and things really kicked off from there. Hugh and I both had headed over to Europe for work at different times, and we had kind of, you know, only had crossover for a few days. And then February was back to back, and it's kind of kept that way until March. And so within the last week, we have had a little bit of a breather. Our episode today, we're talking about Byron Bay, and I decided to start with this one because this was my second time there, and this was a little mini holiday that we did last week with Hugh's mates who were visiting from the UK. And so I thought it was a really fun time to test this type of podcast that I want to start doing a little bit more often, which is on the road. And so this is our first on the road podcast where most of it, I would say two-thirds of it, have been recorded in destination, which was really fun, a good change up. We had some natural, like two really natural times where it made sense to bring out the mics. And with that, you might hear a bit more background noise. The quality sounds, it still sounds great. You can hear us and it's clear, but there is some background noise because we're sitting and other things are moving and so on and so forth. But we're really excited to be back. It has been a really great time also of thinking about this year for the podcast, what's to come. I've had a lot of great conversations and we're really excited for this year, things that we'll be doing. We've got a lot of trips that we're going to cover, and we also have a bit of a new structure. And the structure is going to allow us, I think, to really focus on the content that we're putting out there. And for myself, I need a bit of time to figure out a really good regimen for recording, editing, and also promoting on social media our podcast episodes and the content that we're talking about in our podcast. So moving forward from the day this podcast released, we're going to be doing an episode every other week. And I know last year we did an episode a week for, you know, almost the entire time from June to early December. And I think that that was really helpful for us to get off the ground, for me to get in the hang of how to do these podcasts, to get some experience. But one challenge that I had is that the podcasts are very cumbersome to edit and they take a lot of time. And I was finding myself really taking a bit of time with the edit. I want to make sure that's as quality as it can be. And then by the time I would launch the podcast and then promote it on social media, it would be time for the next podcast. And so what I'm thinking, at least for the near future, and this may change because we're evolving, we're growing, we're learning, is having the podcast, spending a little bit more time really focusing on the record and then having time to edit and promote on social media and make sure that that is a bit of a cycle instead of there are some podcasts that we've done that I haven't even posted about on Instagram because by the time that we, you know, I would have posted it, then the next one is out. So I think that we're going to focus on quality over quantity. We're going to be spending more time focusing in on these locations and the social media that's going to be adaptive to the episodes that we have. And that's how we're looking at this year. But we have some big goals. We have some really exciting podcasts lined up and we've got so much to record. I cannot wait to get all of them out and have this year in just, you know, 4 months, we'll have hit our first year as a podcast, which is incredible. Admittedly, we took about 2.5 months off over summer, but I'm calling that our summer break because I also think that it's important to focus on the creative side and take some space to zoom out and reflect and recharge. And that's really, I thought a lot about the podcast. I thought a lot about what I want to do this year, what's important. And I think it would have been really challenging if I was just focusing on episodes and, you know, putting them out and editing and so on and so forth. So I appreciate you guys and the patience that you have bestowed upon myself and the pod waiting for an episode that is not Positano. But the good news is Positano is our highest downloaded episode. And we have our first listener feedback that was coming from, well, I shouldn't say first listener feedback. We've gotten a lot of listener feedback, but we have our first listener feedback that turned into additional conversation, which was really cool. So one of our listeners, I'll keep her name private at this point, but she reached out to me, told me that she listened to the podcast and wanted to know if I had any other recommendations for things to do in Italy. She gave me a bit of a breakdown of the trip that she was planning to take with her friends. And I sent her this, you know, whole group of notes that I had from our experience. She was really interested in where to book for restaurants, which I really loved that she pointed that out because I also had that challenge as well. And so I sent her everywhere that I had booked and loved and rated and reviewed. And that was a really cool point to carry on a conversation with someone I've never met in person, but someone who enjoyed the podcast to the point where then we're engaging about additional recommendations and whatnot. And I really love giving these recommendations and I love talking to people about experiences. So I feel really lucky that I get to do this with this podcast and we are really excited for this year. So with that, just a bit of an intro in terms of, you know, how things are doing. The good news is that things are going well. Things are also busy with work. So balancing the pod and work has always been it's been a challenge. I think it's always challenging when you have a very full-on role, trying to find boundaries and trying to figure out where your personal life and your things that you're interested in outside of life interact. And that's always an ever-evolving question I'm trying to answer and figure out how that looks. But I have been doing a lot of work on boundary setting in my own life with work. That being said, work was very full on for the summer as well. And so it's the beginning of the year. We do a lot of setting goals, we do setting objectives, company direction, strategy, so on and so forth. So all those things take place at the beginning of the year. And I was in Amsterdam for 10 days for work, actually. But I had a bit of time. I had one weekend where I had some friends visit Amsterdam and were able to be a bit of a tourist for the weekend, which was great because I've had a few trips in the past year or so where I haven't had any weekend overlap, a bit of fly in and fly out. But that was really amazing. I love the city of Amsterdam a lot. And it was winter there, so a bit of a different contrast to Sydney. But it was really cool. So it has been really busy with work. But now that we're coming into what they call in Australia autumn, and in the US we call it fall. I love calling it fall, so I'm going to keep calling it fall. But fall is what we're in right now. It is just marginally starting to cool down. I'm very excited. I actually just had a conversation today about the podcast, and some woman that I met, she was asking me about it, and she's like, "That's so cool. I'm going to Positano. Like, what recommendations do you have?" And we had a really long chat about how excited I was she was going to Positano and everything that I'd recommend kind of doing from there. So if anyone has any questions or wants my input, or anyone who also I may know, please don't hesitate to reach out on our Instagram. It's at WonderPod on Instagram, and more than happy to, if I don't know, can help connect you with someone who may know or give you some resources. If that is you, please don't hesitate to reach out no matter where it is. And if you go somewhere really cool and you want to come on the podcast, let me know. We can also get that set up as well. With that said, we're going to chat about Byron. I absolutely love Byron. It is one of my favorite places in Australia. It's amazing. It's relaxing. It's all the things. And it was really cool to take a trip with a couple of friends here. The last trip I did was one of my really good friends, and she and I went up there and we stayed a few days in an apartment that we had rented out, and we had a brilliant time. The difference was we had a car, so we were able to drive outside of Byron, which is also a really great way to see Byron and what they call the hinterlands. I think is such a beautiful word. Hinterlands. Stunning. I love it. And I've also started saying stunning a lot, and I don't really know where that came from, but I'm really here for it. So that is a little bit of the difference, but I've been there twice now, and I'm really excited about this pod because it's a really cool place. I really wish that I knew more about before I went. I never knew why people like going so much. I never knew too much about what it was about. I knew it was a bit of a smaller town. And now after this trip, I could see myself living there. So I hope that you'll enjoy this wonderful pod on Byron. Let me know what you think. Feel free to send me a DM if you like these on the road styles or you like the more end of trip recaps. We'll definitely have a combination of both moving forward, but I wanted to try something a little bit different, and I thought
we've just arrived in Byron.
That said,
and
here's the pod.
It's Hugh and I here. Hi, Hugh.
Hello. How are you going?
Yeah, good. And we just got off the flight. Flight was not even an hour, right?
Not even an hour. No, super easy, actually. All of these that were local ones, you just shoot off, and by the time you're already up, you're already down.
Yeah, it was really easy and quite straightforward. We flew Jetstar, and no one was more surprised than the two of us that when we arrived at the gate at the boarding time, the entire flight was already boarded, and it was final boarding call somehow.
Which is great. I think that's the way you want to do it.
It's a true shocker, but
Jetstar delivered.
Surprisingly, yes. They have nearly a 50% gender pay gap, but they do deliver in flights to Byron. So we have that going for us. Apologies for the background noise. We're currently recording outside the airport because we're waiting for our shuttle. And we are going on Byron Bay bus, and we have a really nice local gentleman who's going to drive us to our airport, and he accepts cash. And what was really cool is that we were able to book this right in the airport. So Hugh actually spotted this.
Yeah, you just there's a shuttle booth right as you come into the airport, straight next to the baggage reclaim. Super easy to chat to. Baggage reclaim.
Oh
yeah, you know.
I've never heard it called baggage reclaim. Just baggage claim.
I don't know what I'm doing.
We've had a full night's sleep and still wasn't enough. We need some more.
Always need more. No, it is very easy. They leave every 40 minutes is what they say. So if you time it well, we're just waiting for the other plane to land, pick up a couple more passengers, and away we go. Should be about a 15-minute wait.
It shouldn't be too long. How many times have you been to Byron? So, and what's your impression of Byron?
So I've only been to Byron once before. Went on a boys' trip a couple of years back. And I love Byron. I think it is super relaxed. Everyone is incredibly friendly. It's becoming increasingly more populated, but you can see why. It's such an easy place to be around. The shopping is amazing. The food is unbelievable. The location and the landscape is pretty incredible. What do you reckon?
Yeah. You know, honestly, while you were saying that, I was watching somebody slightly get in the trunk of a car to move some seats around, and it was just a bit entertaining. The group of people that we're watching is, they are ready for an adventure. Many bags, and for the last 30 minutes, they've been laying on the ground, taking a little bit of a nap. So yeah, I thought maybe something else was going to happen there, but it didn't. I love Byron. I have only been here once, and I came here for the first time with a friend of mine in November of 2022. And we've got a flight taking off, everybody, in action. Oh, take off or land. I really love Byron. I think it's a great spot. It's really relaxed, and it actually reminds me a bit of my hometown, but it's on the ocean. Missoula is not on the ocean, so they have that difference.
It's a little bit warmer here as well than Missoula.
Quite a bit warmer, yeah. It's warm today, and the sun is doing its best to part these clouds, which is really exciting. And yeah, it's stunning. The food's really great, and we're going to try to audio record part of this trip. So we've started the trip. We've come here, so we're documenting this portion. How was Byron for a guys' trip?
Oh, so much fun.
What was the vibe?
I think Byron in general, you can come here for a number of reasons. Boys' trip, girls' trip, couples' trip, relaxing, surfing trip, whatever you need, really. And for me, the guys' trip was orientated around, we were actually staying at the YHA, so cheap accommodation.
What's the YHA
the
for those
Hostel
who don't
Association,
know?
Okay. For those outside of Australian parts, they are the regular hostel union that's funded partially by the government, but also are able to keep up in all the major towns and coastal routes around Australia. They're super fun. Always a lot of people in them, travelers, people from different sides of the globe. And yeah, it was a good little foundation for us, but we always spent most of the time out and about. Couple of great meals, quite a few drinks in all honesty, and Byron can kind of provide any holiday you need.
What are you most excited for on this Byron trip?
This Byron trip, I'm quite looking forward to a bit more relaxation.
Okay.
I am looking forward to the beaches. It's stunning, stunning up here. And probably a hike or two as well.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of really good hikes around here and some good waterfalls. I'm really excited as well. I'm also really excited for the food. So Byron has stunning food. It has most notably many farm-to-table restaurants. And they're all incredibly delicious. We ate out every single night last time we were here and explored all the cafes. And they have everything that just really makes me nerd out, from juiceries to like health shops. Everything's really local. The tomatoes here last time, I remember when we landed, the tomatoes tasted like the most wholesome tomato that you could possibly taste. And Hugh is cringing right now that I'm talking about tomatoes.
Awesome tomatoes.
Awesome tomatoes. As a plane is landing.
So I think we might need to leave this here before it gets too noisy for chapter one.
Okay. Our plane has turned off the tomatoes. Yeah. They're amazing. They taste so good. Don't you know that you can taste the difference between a really high quality tomato and then a really low quality tomato?
You definitely can.
When was the last time you tasted a tomato and you're like, damn, this is a great tomato?
I was over in Italy. 100%.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, Italy has great tomatoes.
It does indeed.
The Roma tomato.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, Byron's stunning. Hopefully some relaxation. I think last time I was here was very relaxed. It's been quite a busy year for us, hence why this is one of the earlier pods back from our summer break. Because we were so busy that we were out having all the adventures that we will talk about in the downtime of what they call autumn here.
When we're finally back on deck, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, stay tuned for part two of On the Road Pod. Wonder edition. Editions, Wonders on the Road pod.
Yep.
Back soon.
Hello, my name is Joel.
Yeah, it works. Joel, you specifically, what are your thoughts on Byron? Your first impressions?
I don't know what my first impressions are.
What did you think Byron was about before you got here?
A lot more chilled. It's a lot more chilled than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
I guess we've come at a time where it's slightly quieter, which has been nice.
Yeah.
Everyone seems like, pretty easygoing, chilled. I think chilled is the kind of overarching theme of this place. It's been nice. It helps when the sun's out, but it's also, even when it was a bit rainy yesterday, the sea's so warm that you can kind of just like go in anyway. Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a struggle leaving tomorrow.
Going back to the UK.
Yeah, not looking forward to it.
Ron, what have you thought of Byron so far?
It's a very relaxing place. I like being here compared to Sydney, which obviously had a bit more going on. I think people take themselves maybe a little bit more seriously there. I like it here. It's cool. There's lots of nice shopping, like stores, cool brands, quite cheap as well, relatively speaking. Apart from the food, I feel like, well, we've been to some couple of nice places for food and that seemed a little bit on the slightly more expensive side, but definitely nice for occasional treat or whatever.
Yeah. What have you thought of the food here compared to food in London?
It's a great question. I don't know. I think it's a bit fresher. feels that way at least. I think in London, obviously, it's a huge range of cuisines that you've got access to. I haven't been out loads here to kind of experience that. But what I have experienced has been pretty decent. I've enjoyed it. And yeah, I think on the price side, I think things are relatively similar, especially in Sydney. I was expecting it to be a little bit cheaper, but yeah, I've been stung on a couple of bills here and there.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting because it is a bit more expensive here than in Sydney in terms of food. Like that's actually a good shout. But yeah, it's very chill here, which is really nice. What did you know of Byron before you came? Did you have any like expectations before you came?
I've not really, only really been told about the kind of like hippie, everyone's kind of quite chilled, whatever. But in terms of what I thought about the place beforehand, didn't have too many preconceptions, just knew it was obviously like a beach town, good to get away from sort of more the city of Sydney. It's definitely bigger than I thought it was. I thought it was going to be like one street next to a beach, but maybe that's just coming from UK beaches where seaside towns are typically quite slow compared to like the main cities and stuff. But
villages.
Yeah, the little villages.
The English villages.
Yeah, there's normally just one pub and that's about it as things go. It's cool to be here. Enjoyed going to Stone and Wood Brewery. I thought that was a good experience. Cool trying their different beers and stuff. I just thought that they did the Pacific Ale. So yeah, nice experiencing that as well.
It's such a perfect rainy day activity. So we've had 2 days, two full days. One rainy, not today. I mean, today's been like stunning, like perfect day.
I'm a bit burnt.
We're all a bit burnt, but that's okay. I think that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
Especially you guys coming from the UK, where we haven't seen sun in probably many months.
Yeah.
But Stone and Wood, I have actually, so last time I hadn't been to Stone and Wood here, and it's really, really a cool brewery. But I think from what you were saying, like I actually always forget that it's much larger. Like we drove 10, 12 minutes out of town just to get to Stone and Wood. And there was a lot, like there was even boutiques and cafes there, kind of outside the main part. So yeah, it's a bit bigger, but it is such a nice vibe, which I like. And I'm super glad that you guys wanted to come here. Who initiated wanting to come here? Was it you and Kaz? You guys chatted about it? Or?
I think when we were trying to plan it, we got loads of different suggestions of where to go from people who are primarily based or originally from Sydney. And we were talking about Melbourne, thinking about going to that. They said that although it's quite cool there, maybe with the amount of time that we had, probably better to maybe experience the beaches, because that's kind of what we're here for, rather than specific nights out or, I don't know, like clubs or bars and things like that. So I think that's more what we were after, was the beach clubs. So it's not beach clubs, the beach, the beaches.
Have you found a beach club, Mastoya?
No.
See, yeah. Tell me where it is.
Yeah, take me back to Saint-Tropez. But no, I think just in general, it's kind of up more after what we were here for. And I think just conversations with Hugh, Joel, Kaz, and then also the people who are in London from Sydney. That was more of a sort of more the way that we were heading, I think.
Yeah, you came here on a guy's trip. And now we're a couple days in since when we first chatted. So what is your evaluation of how we've spent our time?
Oh, I've loved it. In this trip? I know I originally said at the start of things that it, Byron allows you to do so many different kinds of trips, and it's been proven right. The boys' trip was much more, you know, some of the less expensive bars around the place, a bit more of the late night scenery, should we say. And no, it's a very, very different vibe coming into this one, but it's been brilliant. Rather than staying in a hostel, it's actually been staying in this central in town. And then going off of that, like having a big group for us to all go and do different things or the same things that we want. It's been super relaxed. The boys mentioned that a lot. But more importantly, there's just really good things to do. You're not going to be short of any choices, whether you want to eat, drink, dance, whatever it might be.
Yeah, the food's really good. And I think one of the best things about this trip is like the timing makes a big difference. It's not busy really at all. I mean, we made reservations for dinner, but it's not. We made a reservation for tonight just yesterday, I think. And it's so low key right now. Even though there are other travelers here, it's very much the shoulder season. That's really nice. So definitely. And I've come here in November, which is also the shoulder season on the other kind of end. And hands down, best time to visit on the shoulder season, because I cannot, and Kaz was saying, one of the other friends that we're with, she was saying in the summer, it's so packed and I really can't feasibly see how it could be so busy, because it's so small. I guess just like there's a couple, like there's more than one street, but it's not a city by any means.
I'd definitely say end of February, beginning of March is a great time. The weather's still awesome. It's not as busy because school holidays have ended. And as you mentioned with the bookings, sometimes you have to make it weeks in advance before you arrive during peak time. Whereas we can make it on the day, a couple of days beforehand, and you go from there, and it's still the same great experience. I mean, what do you reckon, Joel?
Well, I was just going to say, in terms of like breakfast, we've just been able to turn up and just like walk in and have a place. And like these places are all pretty full. So as you say, like I couldn't imagine what it would be like if these places were busier. Because like, I don't know, if you're then kind of like walking from one place to another trying to find a breakfast or whatever it is, then it's just a bit like, I don't know, it takes the fun out of it. So it's just been nice being able to stroll up and have some good breakfast. Like the place we went to today was really good. Was it Bayleaf?
Bayleaf, our number one.
Yeah, that was so good. And yeah, that was just like, the food was really good. It was really chilled, kind of like atmosphere in there. I don't know, and it felt like they had like quite like, I don't know, their own kind of, I don't know, it just felt like a bit more unique than maybe some of the other places.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was super, super nice.
Yeah. The breakfast is actually, it's a good point. I actually also feel like too, when I first came to Bayleaf, we did have to wait for, I think like 15 minutes before we had a table. And this is in November, but each morning we've gone, we're either like two or three people, even because kind of half of us are exercising or whatever. And it's been really easy to try the different cafes. But Bayleaf is definitely the best. They've got the best food. They've got a really cool culture and vibe. And yeah, Hugh and I have been there now 3 times. So we're big fans. But the breakfast is super easy. And lunch too. But I think the only thing about lunch I think we've struggled with is the timing of it, is that you can't really get lunch anywhere after 2 p.m. So unless you follow a very typical, you know, eat at 8, then eat lunch at 1, then you would just kind of go for maybe a late breakfast and then like have a snack or something. So that's the main thing. But yeah, good smoothies.
Very good smoothies.
Might move here.
Yeah.
I met a guy in a shop. It was 70% closing down sale on everything. and walked in, and he recognized Max and said, "Oh, you know, where are you from? Are you from London?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah." He goes, "Oh, yeah, I'm Welsh actually." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, what's your story?" Whatever. And he's like, "Oh, I moved here 6 years ago for a girl to Byron. She dumped me 6 months after, and yeah, haven't left since. So maybe that's my story."
Following those footsteps. I mean, it was a bit of a weird bloke,
I'm not gonna lie.
Not a bad place to be. It is so relaxed and such a good spot. I mean, I could definitely could live up here, I think, for a bit as well. Small, low key.
Yeah, cool. Definitely be nice to have if you lived in Sydney, to have a place here to come up to.
Stunning beach as well. We've had like the best, warmest swims ever.
I was just gonna say, like, it depends what you like wanted like out of life, but like if you just wanted to live somewhere nice by the beach and, you know, work in a cafe, you know, brunch kind of place, you know, these places closes at like 2-3. I don't know what time they're open, but you know, if you're done by 3, you can just go and surf, chill on the beach, like all that kind of stuff. If that's all you need, which like it's not a bad way to go, you could very easily like, you know, stay here for a while. So I think
Joel might be moving here too.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I think too, so Byron's interesting because when COVID hit, a lot of people then moved here. So actually also a lot of people, Hugh works with one woman who commutes, flies down, and it's just like, it's an hour flight, flies down to Sydney once a week, and she works at the office for 2 days and then comes back up. And then a lot of people work remote here as well. So it's actually a really interesting spot because of that. And it was one of the places that saw the biggest influx in people over COVID. So
a lot of digital nomads.
A lot of digital, well, yeah, digital nomads / millionaires. Anywhere. The flights can be pretty cheap. Yeah.
We booked, yeah, a week before.
Ours is maybe 150, 180 Australian dollars like the week before. But yeah, on the off season, you can get, one of our legs was only like $50. It was really cheap. So yeah, you can get really cheap flights. I work with somebody who also does come down like once a month as well. It's like really reasonable. So I don't know, Hugh.
We'll look into it.
We'll look into it. To be continued. Thanks, everybody. All right. We are back home and we're ready to recap. Hugh, how was Byron?
It was awesome. I think the word awesome might be heard a bit too often in this podcast in particular, but Byron just met all the expectations and went past them for me. How did you find it?
I absolutely loved it. This was such a fun trip, and I talked about this a little bit in the intro, but this was such a great way to experience Byron. We stayed in town at a really, well, lovely apartment. The managing company was maybe a little bit less than accommodating to deal with.
But we can focus on the positives. There was no long-term issues from that, but yeah.
But what was interesting is we have stayed a lot of places and we've rented a lot of apartments before and have never had so many particular listed items to do, to think about, consider. And it did add like a bit of, the only stress of this trip was a bit of challenges. The key accidentally broke in the lock. They wanted us to like go out and replace those. We didn't have a car to get to the place. It just was a lot.
It was a bit, you know.
And coming from Byron, you maybe expected a bit more low key, and also, but we're paying customers. It's not like we were staying there for free. So,
yeah, I'd just say if you're thinking about the low touch kind of places, this one wasn't really that. It was very high touch. You had to provide, because they're not for any parties happening in that location. You had to provide details of which guests were staying and things like that, which I haven't really experienced. And yeah, the purpose of your trip, I'm not sure how many various purposes they might get outside of vacationing or a quick work trip, but yeah, it was a bit tedious, especially at the end. There was lots of requests to put everything back in certain places. And I felt like that would have been achieved through just details rather than consistent messaging.
Yeah. And this was in stark contrast to the first night where you and I went up there before we met up with the friends, where we stayed in Lord Byron Hotel, and the staff couldn't have been lovelier. They were so friendly. They had a pool. They had bikes to rent. They had a tennis court in the back. They were so accommodating. They gave us a free voucher for a free marg at one of the bars in Byron. It's called the Treehouse. We didn't actually make it there, but
Just really thoughtful, above
and beyond. And it was really interesting. And I have a friend who's talked about on her socials the contrast between renting apartments and living in or renting at hotels when you travel, and how different they're starting to be because the requests are stacking up. It takes us a considerable, I mean, we all took at least minimum an hour to clean, you know, take all the trash out, everything. And so it's definitely a bit of a different experience. That being said, the last apartment I stayed at in Byron, we had rented out a granny flat essentially on some property. And the couple was so lovely, very friendly, didn't ask anything of us at the end except for just take out the trash, all good. And that was really relaxing and kind of low maintenance. So you can find it, but that was an interesting experience that we haven't quite had before.
Yeah, exactly. A new experience, hopefully one that doesn't continually happen to us with all of our future bookings. But yeah, no, it was above that. The apartment itself was in a great location. I would recommend if you are staying in Byron and you're not there for a week or beyond, getting somewhere relatively centrally located is super beneficial. You can just walk everywhere. Dinners in the evening are super close. You're not worrying about cabs or, you know, particularly the time we went, it being slightly past peak season, it was perfect.
It was stunning. And can't rate Lord Byron Hotel enough. Such a lovely
place.
Would
recommend that. Yeah, that was an awesome spot.
Love that. The pool was amazing and everything was just 10 out of 10 there. They had everything you could imagine. They also had surfboards to rent and everything. So
bikes as well.
Yeah, the bikes were great. But yeah, no, I loved this trip. I thought it was great. Loved having Joel and Rob and then Kaz, who didn't make it on our previous part of the podcast when the guys were on. Such a lovely group and really made the most out of this wonderful, wonderful trip. Five-person
dream team.
Yeah, such a dream team. We all got a little bit burnt at the end despite multiple layers of sunscreen being put on, but we came home with happy faces. Rob and Joel have made it now home to the UK. And yeah, we can't recommend Byron enough. I was actually just chatting to a woman yesterday about Byron and, oh no, it was today actually. And she was asking me what is so different about Byron. And she was like, is it just your stock standard beach town? Curious, how would you answer that question?
I feel a lot of people who know Australia or have heard of Australia have probably heard of Byron Bay as well. So a few people might say it's a pretty cliche place to visit. I just think it's got such character. Everyone is so positive there. It's a very comfortable lifestyle, but people are keen to socialize. I feel it's not one of those holiday towns. It's a great town with so many great people living there the full time. That's what I probably didn't know at the beginning.
Yeah, people are friendly.
Thought it was a holiday destination, and maybe then it had real peaks and troughs of how people were around that time. But realistically, it's just an amazing seaside town that has such, you know, culture and vibes for the whole year round.
Yeah, and one thing we didn't talk about earlier in the podcast is we also went to the Byron Farmers Market.
Yeah.
And we did that the first night. It was on Sunday. And when I went 2 years ago, it was max 30 stalls. And this time it has turned into, it was like 100 stalls.
Well over 100.
And we walked through for hours. It was stunning. And we had some great conversations. Always seemed to gravitate towards the Americans. with the
maybe just you, yeah.
The American that was selling these stunning vintage pieces for far less than what they would go for in Sydney. That was such a highlight as well. Would recommend. It is one of the best markets I've been to in a really long time. A lot of local or organic. I bought some tea from a naturopath there. She makes it herself. All these sorts of things. So
great art, great clothing as well. I'm not really a market buyer when it comes to things like clothes. I'm pretty basic, but I really, really enjoyed a couple of the stalls we went into and ended up buying myself a shirt and a pair of shorts.
Yeah, great stuff for guys too. So all around a great time. Really happy that we went. And the only thing was I didn't actually get to a Pilates class, but I did just take this Pilates workshop today from a studio owner from Studio Levels, and we'll shout them out because it was a great strength reformers class. And so next time I've been Brian, I'm really excited to check that out. But with that said,
Kaz did one though.
Yeah, Kaz did one. Yeah. But I'm not sure where she went. So
We'll have to check with her. But I know she had a great time at the Pilates.
It could have been it could have been
just available on ClassPass.
Yeah, it could have been this one. But yeah, I had done some Pilates myself on the beach, which was also fun and interesting. But we had a great time. We would recommend it. Have the best time when you go visit Byron. Hopefully some of our tips and tricks helped. And oh, one thing we're going to say is the two great places. We haven't mentioned dinner yet. Do you remember the place we went the first night?
First night was No Bones.
No Bones.
And happy to take this one. No Bones is an entirely vegan restaurant, which I am not a vegan. I am quite a big meat eater, but that was the best vegan restaurant I had ever been to. Everything tasted brilliant. I know I shouldn't act surprised by that, but it was a really cool restaurant within itself. Great bar, great drinks. But then on top of that, the food was delicious. It was. We picked the set menu, would recommend that. Really well priced. You are stuffed by the end of it. And so many different flavors going on.
Stunning. Yeah, the set menu was so good. Hugh very iconically asked if the set menu was going to be enough because he was thinking about ordering a carbonara, and the waitress slightly chuckled. Yeah, on top of it. The waitress, you can tell I'm into Pilates today because I'm talking about weightless. The waitress politely chuckled and said, it'll be enough. And we had the best time. That was such great food. And we had Rob, who you heard earlier, his birthday at Mez Club, which was stunning. They were wonderful staff, amazing service. The food was great. It was perfect for a birthday.
They even brought out a little birthday cake.
Yeah, brought out a little birthday brulee. And we had such a nice time there. Really great service. We also went to Bang Bang a little bit earlier in the week. I thought the food was good, but the service was not noteworthy. They dropped the ball, especially when compared to Mez Club, which not.
I think it was the comparison exactly makes them seem a bit more average.
It wasn't that great, no matter who you. It wasn't great. But that being said, the food was good. I think Bang Bang is just really overhyped. They've got a big, I think, presence on social media. And from that experience, Mez Club knocks out of the park. And it is the second time I've been to Mez Club as well. And really, really great service consistently.
100%.
Yep. Okay. So that wraps Byron. We will see you back here shortly. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed the pod, please leave us a review and or follow us on social media. We will see you back here soon. Thanks so much, everyone.
Have a great day.
All right.